Okay. One of the interesting things about this week's parasha, among many others, of course, is that Moshe Rabbeinu davens that Korach and his Eda should be swallowed up by the earth. So that's unusual.
It's very unusual. Why did it daven for that?
Yeah, like what the whole parasha just screams out Darshani. Like what's pshat? First of all, why is he davening? Why is it necessary? They need a piha aretz. What does that even mean? There's a piha aretz. It's just like an earthquake. Like, what does that even mean? And it seems, as we'll see from Chazal, that this was something that was extremely unique. So like, all right.
Allegedly, there's a spot they say in Eretz Yisrael where if you go over, you can actually hear voices.
Some in Eretz Yisrael, they were out of Eretz Yisrael.
What?
The desert.
And wherever. I don't mean I'm so proud, but like the Sinai, whatever.
I haven't heard it personally, but okay.
Yeah.
Like Sinai, it's very, very good. No, it's one of those stories they tell the kids.
So there it says, "Remember Moshe, b'zois teidun ki Hashem shalachani la'asayis kol ma'asim ha'ila." Here's how you'll know. Here's how you'll know that Hashem sent me. Ki lo mi libi, that this is not all coming from my own heart, my own ideas. So what's necessary to do that? So he doesn't leave it up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He could have done that too, but he decides to specify exactly what he wants. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, here's my list.
But tonight.
Yeah, it's like he wants something specific. Im kamois kol ha'adam yimusun eila. If these people die normally, and the typical pakita happens to them, well, those are two different things. That's a little it's unusual. Just say one or the other. So then Hashem didn't send me. I guess we'll translate it as a creation, like a noun, right? If Hashem will create a creation. Apparently, namely, he could have said it clearer. Hashem will create a creation. And the land will open up its mouth. Who says it has a mouth? And it swallows them up. Not only them, but everything that belongs to them. And they'll somehow thereby go. I mean, she'ola, we could translate it as Gehenna or something, or we could simply translate it as, I guess, to die. They'll die living? Well, that doesn't make any sense. So they'll go to Sheol alive. Vidatem ki ni atzu anashim ha'ela es Hashem. Now you'll know that they're blaspheming HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not just that that they're after me. It's really against the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayi kichal shel adaber es kol adaramim. As soon as Moshe Rabbeinu finished saying that, v'ti boka adama asher tachteim, the ground underneath them opened up. V'tiftach ha'aretz es pia. That was the second thing. The land boka, it splits, and then the aretz opens its mouth. Sounds like a crazy horror movie. V'tivlo yisam v'espateya, and it swallows up them and their households. V'skol ha'adam asher l'korach v'skol ha'rechosh, and all of the people that were with Korach and all of the property.
Sure, did more the extra mile.
What?
You did more than he asked for.
Why? In what way? The rechosh?
No, the town, their houses.
What am I trying to say?
He's translating between his houses.
There was a tent.
Is it houses? Is it households?
It's their property. It's what they are.
That's kol asher lohem, right? That's what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted. Moshe Rabbeinu says kol asher lohem. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu davened for. Kol asher lohem. So that's bateyam and kol adam akarev kol rochosh. V'yer dehim kol asher lohem chayim sho'ila. And it happened. They went down sho'ila alive. The dechas aleihem aretz, and then it closes up on them afterwards. And they were lost from the rest of the congregation. I mean,
they said they died. That's where they get the Medrash Akedah from.
Right? It sounds like they didn't die. That was the whole point. They're supposed to go down alive. Unless it means until they die. I mean, they're suffering until they die. Everyone raised their voice. Wow, maybe we'll get swallowed up. Everybody run. And then the other thing that happened was there was a fire that came from Hashem, from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then devoured up everybody else that was involved over here. Okay, so piece by piece. So first things first, Moshe Rabbeinu has an unbelievable tefillah here, and Chazal referred to it as Hitiach Devarim Klapei Malo. Hitiach is a funny word. It's used a few times that there was like a tefillah that somebody made that was almost like with a chutzpah.
I'm just curious, right? So I was thinking, is that a Tanai couple here? Like, so why do we bring this one down? Why do we bring the one from the Gan Ruvain? Like,
What do you mean?
In the condition that ring.
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
So it's the same thing, right? Why is it marbling? Got a ruby. What can I learn from here?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I have to think more about the details over here. If it's really as accurate, but the Bashrub Shah simply is that that's in Kinyan. And here's
right, that's Fela. Here's talking about Here's talking about what's it called again? It's talking about
that's Fela. It's like a Shbarka wanting to do the other. I've been trying to get something. Yeah. So I don't know if you could prove anything in terms of Mechel Kamemkar and
Sardar. No, you can't.
So, interestingly, so when we say, Tefillah L'moisha Isha Eli Ha'Eli Kim, so what does that mean? So, I don't know, he's a man of God, right? He's a, so it's interesting, it could have used other names of Hashem. It implies Din. Is he a man that's associated with Din more than anything else? So, I quote you a longer paragraph, but at the end of all of this, they're all different interpretations about what it means that Moshe Rabbeinu is somehow associated with Ish Elokim somehow. Is he related to Elokim? What does it all mean? But one of them, the last one underlined here, Davar Acher, Shehitiach Dvarim Kineged Midas Hadin, that he however you translate this exactly, but he threw words opposite Midas Hadin. What do you mean? How is he dealing with Midas Hadin here? Shenemar Vim Briya Yivra Hashem, if Hashem will create such a thing. Amar Moshe, Im Bar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if this thing I'm requesting has already been created, then good.
Okay, good.
See, I'll ask it like that. Yeah. If not, then he should create it now for Kerich and his Eda. So, yeah. Apparently there was some kind of chutzpah here, which is not clear from this medrash. This medrash just says that Moshe Rabbeinu is like telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like what he ought to be doing. He's going to have to create something. Like who says HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates it? Especially the Lashon of Yivra, by the way. Right? Many Mefarshim point out that Bria is like a creation Yishmayayim. And Yitzira is like to form something that already exists. So Moshe Rabbeinu is asking for something that doesn't exist. And like Shag is pointing out, I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know that it was created. Bein Hashmashas is one of those things on the list in the Mishnah, in Pirkei Avos, that there were certain things created Bein Hashmashas. So what's going on over here? Okay, so first things first is that Chazal point out that this tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu is not pashut. This was something that Moshe Rabbeinu was hitiach devarim klape mala. He really was being on some level, you know, if you could say such a thing, you know, chutzpedik. Like how could you say such a thing? You're going to tell a Kaddish Baruch he has to create something? And it gets worse. Take a look at Rabbeinu B'chai here. He's really...
Like he's testing Hashem.
Well, listen to this. When you see this Rabbeinu B'chai, it's really a Medrash Tanchuma, so you'll hear right away. He says, this field of Moshe Rabbeinu L'mada V'ardayim what's it like? L'shush bin bita shel melech. So you have this... he's the Shushbin. Shushbin usually means like a best man, you know? The daughter of the king. Shehayu... He had all of the Eidos about her in his hand. So he knows everything about her. He has all the Eidos that she's Kusher V'yasher from her youth. Someone stepped up from this, you know, the Chasna from the party. And he cursed this Shushbin. Omer, what did he say? And in the process of cursing him, or I don't know if that's exactly the curse, or in the process of cursing him or something, he curses out the princess and says that she, you know, she doesn't have her basulin. Amar Ashushbin lifnei hamelech. So this guy comes back to the king, and Amarli says to the king, Im lo ta'aseh li nekama mizeh, if you don't defend me against this guy, af ani omer bevadai lo nimsu basulin vitcha shel melech. I'll say he's right. If you don't come to my rescue... So I'm going to tell everybody that he's right. Amar HaMelech, Mutav Lahare Gazeh, so it's in my best interest to kill this guy. And then the Shushman won't end up saying something bad about my daughter, because he's trusted. This guy, you know, he's a loser. So no one's really necessarily going to believe him anyway. But the Shushman is so upset, so I'll take care of this guy. And then I'll get him out of the way. And then at least no one will believe it, that it's true. That's what Moshe said too. If these guys die a normal death on their beds, and the Raven come and they check him out like all the other sick people, I'll also be kaifer. Hashem didn't send me. Yeah, I made it all up. If it didn't, He's threatening HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the extreme. That's how the Medrash says it. And only the request that Kadosh Baruch Hu create something such as that. He said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, if you don't create it, so then they're right. Right? You see the lesson in the pasuk. So then they're right. So that's how the Medrash, you know, spells it out.
Maybe he's not being dressed. Maybe he's just being drastic to the people to show them that I know he's being drastic just to prove a point.
Yeah, but the way that Chazal say the Medrash said, he tiach tvarim klapim midas adem, that he was saying this to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So if you take a look, the end of this Medrash is that you see this also by V'chein Amar Michayo, and of course the famous one is Eliyahu HaNavi, Har HaKarmel. So today, a fire has to come down Min HaShamayim. Who says that Kadosh Baruch Hu is ready to do that? So again, it's the same type of tefillah, the same thing's going on over there. Okay, so wow. So the question, of course, is...
tefillah? You're requesting something? There, tefillah is not a prayer, it's a request.
What do you mean?
How's that tefillah? I don't know if someone's not. Just talking.
He's requesting from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's demanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu do what he's saying.
So how do you translate tefillah here?
I mean, any bakasha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a tefillah. He's requesting from Hashem. He's having Hashem.
So tefillah means request?
Be'etzem tefillah is request, is bakasha. Tefillah, to be yoytzei tefillah, so you have to have shevach, you have to have hoidah, that bookend your bakasha. So you have to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then you have to thank him afterwards. But be'etzem tefillah is bakasha.
Well, you just said that's how everybody, even when you read all these stories of all these gedolim, let's just say these chassidus and maizes, when they ask Hashem, you're saying they do that?
What do you mean?
So if someone comes to them and asks them for a bracha, or has a problem and talks to him, he goes into his room and he, whatever he does. So you could assume they're doing, like I'm saying, for if they're dialing for the person, I'm just wondering, they're doing a Haida,
tefillah, bakasha,
and
haida. Mistama, I don't know. I can't promise you what.
But that's the secret sauce you're saying.
Yeah, that's what the Rambam writes. Nachos tefillah. That's the definition of tefillah.
And everybody agrees with that, or?
I mean, that's in halacha. That's pretty straightforward in halacha. That's why Shmoneh Esrei pattern that way. If halacha.
The problem, you don't even have to daven the official tefillah. So you just have to, right?
But if you look at the Rambam, right. The Rambam says even though the words that you say, whatever, you still have to have this structure. Pretty sure he says it like that. Take a look again. It's been a little while. But I'm pretty sure that's how he says it. What words?
I know it's just the same concept. So I go outside, or he goes outside, or whatever he's talking about, whatever, and does the same thing.
Yeah.
There's no reason why the tefillah shouldn't work.
Of course not. Everyone should daven. Wait, daven. Take a shmur. Well done.
You're talking about Shemayah, but you don't have time, whatever. It's different. But now when you're davening, I know it's awesome.
There's nothing wrong with requesting from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I don't think a person's mechuyah before he's in trouble and he says, "Kadosh Baruch Hu, please help me." He has to stop himself, and say, "Oops, I'm sorry. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're the best. Please help me. Thank you so much." I don't know if a person's mechuyah do that. But yeah, but when we talk about yoytze, the chiyuv of tefillah, to be yoytze,
it's one of our kets. It's a calling out when you're in trouble.
I don't think you have to stop yourself and necessarily give shevach. It's probably a nice thing to do, but to be yoytze tefillah, I think you have to do that. That's what they tell the women, is that if you don't have time, so at least, daven and say a bracha, request something from HaKadosh Baruch, a bakasha. All right, in any case, there's a...
So how come he didn't do that? He didn't do a shabbat, he didn't do a praise, he didn't do any of that stuff.
Sure, yeah, right. this is an extreme tefillah, yeah. So, I mean, that goes to prove your point. In other words, that when a person wants to daven for something, he's not always mechuyev necessarily to do it that way. To be yoytzei tefillah, that's how you have to do it. But in any case, it was a very extreme tefillah. So why did it have to be so extreme? So here there are a few angles on this. So just because we're in Rabbeinu Mechai, let's finish Rabbeinu Mechai. He quotes this Medrash Tanhuma, Chumah. And he says, "V'davar yaduahu shemachleikes hazeh hayasibas bitul haTorah kula." And if this would have gone forward, this would have destroyed the entire Torah. Because today they come with a taina against Techeles, the Vayikach Kira, right? The Medrash says he took a whole bunch of things. If you have a room full of Sifrei Torah, who needs a little cloth of a mezuzah on the doorpost? What's the point? If you have a beged, it's all Techeles. You need a little Techeles string on the end. I'm Kulam Kedoshim. What do we need you for? You need a little string, a little mezuzah on the doorpost. What do we need of a Kulam? I'm Kulam Kedoshim. Okay, so one thing leads to the next. And if you don't accept Moshe Rabbeinu in this detail and that detail, so ultimately you're just going to throw Moshe Rabbeinu into the garbage and say that, obviously we don't trust you, we don't believe you, anything you say. So it was really going to undermine the entire Torah. That's what it'll lead to. That's why the punishment of Korach had to be so severe. It was a big deal. So just like you find, there's a similarity between Eliyahu HaNavi, Har HaKarmel. This is a tremendous Kiddush Hashem where he's proving how Avodah Zarah is a bunch of shtus. So he's going to create this Kiddush Hashem. Everybody sees a Kiddush Baruch Hu, and that was also the Hitiach Dvarim Klapei Mala. So you get the sense that that's the Geder HaDvarim. That when it's in a situation where the greatest of Chil Hashem is occurring, so then apparently there's some justification to daven with that sort of Hitiach Dvarim Klapei Mala in that context. So that's what Moshe is doing here too, to defend the Torah. So what's with the Pia, right? Well, the fish heim bol keneged haTorah shehi kiyum hashamayim v'haaretz is again Rabbeinu Bachai is angle on it. There are others that because the Torah is the kiyum, it's what allows shamayim v'haaretz to function, to last, to exist. How do you know? Like a pasuk says, "Yom brisi yomam v'layla shamayim v'haaretz leisamti." And what's the brisi yomam v'layla v'igisa ba yomam v'layla? We're not for Torah chukas shamayim v'haaretz leisamti. That's the end of the pasuk. So then there wouldn't be a world. The world wouldn't exist. We're not for Torah. Right, that's when in Valajan, right, they used to have mishmaros. So they were learning Torah 24 hours a day, 24/7. Always somebody learning, because who knows? If there's not somebody learning Torah for a second, Chaim Valajan said the world would cease to exist. Sarabatlan. Always had to be a Sarabatlan. Then Shibayin Eshkar Mina Shemayim Mina Aretz. Therefore, he was punished both Mina Shemayim and Mina Aretz Bivliya, and Mina Shemayim Bisreifa. So both of these happen because one is Shemayim Dik, it's a more spiritual fire, is associated with more heavenly types of things. And the Aretz is the Aretz, so that's swallowed them up. We'll come back to that later on also. That all the Rishonim always utilize their periodic table. Their periodic table is a little different than our periodic table. You know what I mean? They used to have these things, and all the philosophers talk about it, the Arbi Yisoidos, the four Yisoidos, the four elements, earth, air, water, and fire. So they always work with that. Nowadays we have a periodic table with a lot more elements than that, but even the periodic table in a certain way can be broken down into that in like the general sense. It's just that we don't associate fire with, you know, with air. You know, it's combustion, so it's whatever. It's gas, you know. So you could make that tzushtel even bizman hazeh. But whenever you learn the Rishonim, you always have to keep that in mind, that they're always working with these four yesoidos, and so therefore fire is associated with more with Shammai. Sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know if the PRs existed, right? That's what it sounded like from... if it exists, great. If not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should create it, says the Midrash. So here's the Mishnah. So one of them is this P'aretz was created Bein HaShemashos. So right away you start to wonder, well, what is that? Why does it have to be created Bein HaShemashos? It couldn't be created with everything else. What does that even mean? There were certain things that were created Bein HaShemashos. It's almost Shabbos. Like, is that the idea? What is that? So just a, like a little ha'ara, I don't know if it's of great significance. Yeah, it's Bein HaShemashos of a Friday is over, and it's about to be Shabbos, and these things were created Bein HaShemashos.
Not Bein HaShemashos, like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I mean, Tuesday is Bein HaShemashos also, right?
No, it was a Friday.
Yeah, I think that was me. I think it's at the end of creation. He doesn't like coattails. Yeah.
It says it, Be'er of Shabbos.
Mm-hmm. Be'er of Shabbos, Bein HaShemashos, correct. That's exactly what it says. The Gemara, when it quotes this, it says, U'psichas pi ha'aretz livloya es harishoyim. So it's interesting. Was this created for Korach, or was it created Livloyas HaRishoyim? You never find the P'aretz, I don't think, anywhere else. Well, maybe we will when we go weiter. But I don't remember the P'aretz anywhere else, do you?
I don't get what a P'aretz is. I mean, obviously, comments.
There's one place. Do you remember in Brachos where it speaks about the P'aretz in the very, very beginning?
With the two brothers when the...
Hey, what does it say?
With the blood, right?
Yeah.
I remember
what it says. Ha'aretz es P'a. Said it did. Wait a minute. So it did swallow up someone before. No, or it doesn't mean that there. It does mean that there. So here it says Livloyas HaRishoyim, but he wasn't a Rasha. His brother killed him. So Rashi over there says Livloyas HaRishoyim Adas Korach. So you read the Gemara and Pashup Shad is that this was a bria that was created to swallow up Rishoyim in general. Rashi says don't get confused. It's only Adas Korach. So I don't know. Something to consider.
I don't get P.R. What is it supposed to mean? It's supposed to mean mouth.
So that's the point, is that it does not mean that there's just like an earthquake or a sinkhole that opens up and then, you know, somebody falls into it. It's not what it means. There's something called a P'aretz.
Why would the earth have a mouth? It doesn't eat.
Apparently, it was created Livloya es HaRishoyim.
It doesn't speak. What do you need a mouth for?
Livloya es HaRishoyim.
What?
Livloya es HaRishoyim, to swallow up their shine. So why does it have to be a mouth? Why does it have to be...
to talk and to eat.
Yeah.
To do both.
Okay.
So if we only do one, it's not a mouth.
Okay. So you'll ponder and you'll come back to me with your thoughts.
No, I got found out.
Well, it has certain function, right? Okay. We have to ponder. The Riva, who is one of the early Rishonim, it's a Riva, about Tezos. So he is bothered by the same cash that everybody else is bothered by. We don't know if it was created or not. Moshe Rabbeinu is not sure. If it's a Bria, great. If not, Yivra. He says, really? So he quotes, of course, Rashi that says exactly that. And he quotes the Rash. Perish Bria Lashon Nekev. That there is a place, if you take a look in the Pasuk in Yechezkel over here, where Bireya means like to open up a hole. So according to that, V'ein lefarishim Bria Yivra Hashem kemashmoi. That doesn't mean that a Kaddish Baruch will create something that didn't exist before. Sha'arei Pia Aretz Echad Min HaDvarim Shenivru Be'erev Shabbos Ben HaShmashas. It already existed. What does it mean? So it means that if a Kaddish Baruch would be willing to open up this mouth that already exists, then give Aldik, then Gishmak. So that's the way that he reads it. It doesn't seem to be the way most read it, but we will come back to it. Maybe there's more to it than that. But it's interesting. So the usual understanding that everyone says is like the Midrash says, that if it doesn't, Kaddish Baruch should create something that doesn't exist. Unless it exists already, in which case, great, then you know, disregard. But this pshat is saying, no, you could read the word to be a different word altogether. It doesn't mean really create. It means this other word that you'll find over there in Yechezkel, that means actually just to open up. Just to open up. So apparently it exists, but it's been closed. And at Kaddish Baruch, I'm requesting that you open it up again. File away those carefully worded words.
You can watch ones that exist. I mean, the fact that they're talking, they all agree that this thing exists.
But that's what Meir says. It doesn't exist. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying. So, you know, if it doesn't exist, create it. If it exists, great. Not create it. Yivra. So here it's saying now that if you're willing to, open it up, please, at Kaddish Baruch. Okay, so the Medrash says, bris. So this doesn't really push us in any more direction. I just want to point out to you that it's fascinating that this is such a big deal that when it says, bris, Kaddish Baruch had a bris with Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Medrash says the bris with Moshe Rabbeinu covers two things. Psichas pi ha'aretz, the ish aimrim, the hakarinas urpanav. That when his face shone, right, with a karan urpanav. So those are two very, so that we can understand. That was between a Kaddish Baruch and Moshe Rabbeinu. Because he had such a close experience with a Kaddish Baruch Hu, so his face like radiated. It was like, you know, reflective of the Shekhinah. But the other thing is psichas pi ha'aretz. So it wasn't like a big deal. This was like, anyway, it just goes back to the whole thing that you see from all these midrashim, hitiach dvarim klapei mal, etc. So, okay, so the Abarbanel, to his angle on this, and there's a lot of Abarbanel as usual, but to just zero in on this one point, he says, he quotes the Riva, that there is another explanation that could mean just to open up. He prefers not to say that. If it's true, I want to demonstrate to everyone that what I have written in the Torah is true from Briyas HaOlam until now. So then it should be reflected that they're rejecting a Briyas HaOlam. A Kaddish Baruch Hu, prove through me that there's Briyas HaOlam by creating a Briya right now. So the idea of creating something that didn't exist would be that's proving that what I'm telling you about Briya. I'm telling you everything. So that's one Mida Keneged Mida in the Briya. That's the first thing he says. And then he says, What's the Mida Kenegan Mida of Piha Aretz? So again, Rabbeinu Bechaye said they were punished like Mina Shamayim. They're rejecting Torah, which is Kiyum Shamayim V'Aretz. So there's a punishment Minha Aretz. But that's so general. It doesn't reflect why it should be a Piha Aretz, just why it should be from Aretz or something, you know? So trying to get a little more specific. He says, "Heim pashu b'ma sheparu p'm livli choyk livloy la hashchis adoin hanavim." They opened their mouths illegitimately to swallow up and destroy the master, the adoin hanavim, Moshe Rabbeinu, lias and be'erkoy, and their relative to him, nivzim ushvalim, which translate nowadays as losers. You know, they're losers relative to Moshe Rabbeinu. Kacha so too tiftacha adama. Shehi hashafel should be a soidos. The ground, the earth, is the most lowly of all of the elements of creation. So that should open up its mouth to swallow them up. So the way he looks at the Mida Keneged Mida is, them being so lowly, they went ahead and opened up their mouth to swallow Moshe Rabbeinu. So the lowliest of the earth should open up its mouth to swallow them up. That's how he sees Amidah and Negev. Okay. Then he says, he's not the only one that says this. The Ramban says, many say this, that the ikar of this nace wasn't so much that the ground opened up. Because listen, there are earthquakes, there are sinkholes, all kinds of things that could happen. That's not a bria. But the fact that it closed up again, so that doesn't happen. And I looked it up a little bit, the best I could. You can Google it and try to figure out if you ever have any of these sinkholes or any of these earthquakes that ever close up again. They open up because there's a crack. And then it stays like that. They don't close up after. They don't swallow things up. So that, he says, is the Iker Hanes. But that's what he says in the Mina Kenegan Mida.
That makes it a mouth, I guess.
That what?
That it could close.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, that's the answer. Fine. Yep. I mean, the Mina Kenegan Mida here is that they're using their words. They're swallowing Moshe Rabbeinu up with their tainas, with their words. So the mouth. Kli Yakar. He says, that he learns that they're koifer in basically everything. They're koifer in the whole Briyas HaOlam. So he says, and that's one element of it. And the other element is that they're saying that they don't want to have a leader. Like I mentioned to you, that whole Vayikach Korach.
We're all leaders. We're all
Vayikach Korach, they took the mezuzah, they tied it against the mezuzah, room full svarim. And if there's a beged tcheles, what do you need? A little string. So what do we need you for? Ki am kulam kedosh. So that's a rejection of leadership in general. So he quotes the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Yomalei Moira, if people didn't fear the government, Ishes Reyehu, man, what will he do to his friend? Chayim Bala'oi. Alive, he'll swallow him up. Interesting. The Kli Yakar makes this connection. That the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos is saying that a person would swallow up his friend alive. So, you know, I think we read that as like, you know, that means people will kill each other. You know, there'll be anarchy. So why do you have to say chayim below, swallow him up alive? Why do you have to say it like that? See, he says that means something more than that. That means it quite literally. Somehow they'll swallow up people alive. So he says, well, that's exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu was requesting. They be swallowed up alive. So we're not for leadership, for government, for Moshe Rabbeinu. So ish esrei chayim below. So that's exactly what happened to them, Mida Keneged Mida. So that's interesting. But you have to go back to Pirkei Avos and see, like, what exactly is the pshat in Pirkei Avos? Like, what exactly does that mean, you know? But that's the angle he's putting on it. So the Al Sheikh has a whole bunch of caches over here, but his angle's on all of this. What's going on Bein Hashmashas? What does it mean there's a Pia Aret that was Bein Hashmashas? So he says, Ad Boi Shabbos, Hayakol ha'olam shemayim v'aretz v'chol tzva'am k'guf b'li neshama. Before Shabbos was created, the whole world was like very physical. It had a physical structure to it, but without the neshima v'yinofash, without that purpose of the world, so it's like a guf b'li neshama. What does he mean? So I think he means something along the lines of that everything was physical, but it didn't have its purpose yet. Once you have Shabbos, you have the idea that there's purpose behind everything, and there's Shabbos, and it's all headed somewhere. There's Olam Haba. So then you have a life, you have a world with purpose and meaning. That's a guf with a neshama. It's not just a physical thing that exists for what purpose? Just to be physical, just to be there? So once Shabbos comes, it's like a guf with a neshama. But kibbo Shabbos, baruach kedusha le'olam. So with Shabbos comes this tremendous spirit of kedusha to the whole world. As so to speak, as if a Kadosh Baruch Hu breathed a neshama into the entire world. Okay, so what does it mean, he says, that something was created bein hashmashos? Well, anything that was created before, on Friday, earlier, was a guf, and it needed the neshama to come. At this time in the world, the neshama of the world was already in place. So any bria that was created bein hashmashos was created with a neshama already. That physical thing is not just a physical thing. It's a physical thing that has some kind of neshama with it as well. So he goes on to explain the list.
I mean, it has a purpose.
More than that, it has like a life to it. You know how they get all mad at like the vegetarians and they say, you're so upset that you're eating an animal. Why don't you listen to the plants crackling when they get thirsty? They're alive! You know, that the plants have a nefesh. They have like a life to them. So the Pi Ha'aretz had a life to it. Pi Ha'aretz ain't a kishar ki yichra ishbor.
So then they shouldn't.
Exactly. That's what they taina. That's the taina against them. How could you go ahead and eat a plant? Listen to it. It's saying to you.
Might as well just eat the animals because they also have a life. So
Exactly. That was the time. The poor vegetables, they, you know, they're also upset. They don't want to get eaten. So it's not like just a hole in the ground. No hole in the ground is going to draw anybody towards it. Because it's not alive. It's just a hole. It drew things towards it. It was like a magnet. It's like a black hole. It drew people towards it, but only, of course, the people that were supposed to be drawn towards it. But the people that were supposed to be drawn towards it were pulled. The bikurim of his te'ena or whatever it is. I don't know why he has to say it like that. But his point is that these things were all had like a life to them. It wasn't
more important than humans. Like, what were you trying to say?
It's a different quality of bria, because anything that was created then had a quality that this inanimate object came along with, like an existing neshama already to it. There was alive. The piha asoin wasn't just like a Kaddish Baruch Hu, you know, like had noises coming out of the asoin or something. It was a bria. It was a bria that came along with like a nefesh and a guf, and it was a whole different type of bria. He goes through the list. You can take a look. Yeah.
Like the
shadim
became
Benish Machlis? No, Mazik and the Zamachlis. He's Vechain Hashne Luchis. Shai Ruchni is Be'emes. Kemushem Chachmein, Kimatan Terra, how you call Echad, Measeres, Hadibras, Hilech, Venechka, Kala Luach, Kolesh, and Chaitz, and Havai Seish, Shine Kikari, Luchis, Havai Seish. And he goes on to explain all that, how he feels that they fit into that basic structure. There was like a life to all of that.
Sounds like a Shans.
What do you mean? Okay, so that's what he says in terms of defining what these things were.
How quick is Banish Moshes?
Instantaneous.
It's
terrifying. It's a machlokes, okay.
Let's have a quick opinion that's terrifying.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as Banish Moshes. It's terrifying.
Hashem, he knows exactly what Banish Moshes is.
No, if you hold Banish Moshes.
Apparently, there's a Zman called Banish Moshes.
There is no Banish Moshes at all.
There is a Banish Moshes. We can't quantify it. To Hashem, it's terrifying.
So that's a shayla, right? The shayla is, what does Haravayim mean? Haravayim means it doesn't really exist.
Right.
But Haravayim means there is a tekufa called Bein HaShemashah. So Rosalavejik used to love to quote this Ritva, it's in Yuma someplace, that the Ritva tainted that there was a Zman called Bein HaShemashah that had Din Safik.
Right.
What does it mean, a Din Safik? That we usually understand a Safik to mean we don't know if it's day or night. It's either day or it's night. There's no time called Bein HaShemashah. But, you know, we don't know exactly when it is, whatever. So it's either day or night, but there's no real Bein HaShemashos. The other pshat was, if there is a Zman called Bein HaShemashos, what do you mean there's a Zman called Bein HaShemashos? So then what is it? The Teretz is, a Kadosh Baruch Hu never provided what it's defined as. So it's defined as a Safik Yom Safik Laila. That's what it is. It's a Safik Yom Safik Laila. What do you mean it's a Safik? It's not a Safik. No. It's a Din Safik. It doesn't have a specific Hanhaga to it. It's given the din of Safik Yom Safik Laila because, like, you know, it doesn't have its own Zman. It's a third Zman.
But you can't define it.
Right, so that's why it gets a din Safik. You have to think about it.
No, I understand that, but to my knowledge, what I know, it just sounds, I'm not going to use this word stupid, I'm going to use the wrong word, it just sounds like, okay, we don't know what to do, so we're going to say this.
Right, no, this means that there is a Zman that doesn't have rules. So
there
it is.
There is no Zman because it doesn't exist.
That's the other way to look at it. The other way to look at it is it doesn't exist. Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Lila, because we're not sure.
We are not sure.
We're not sure. So according to that, so there wouldn't really be a Bein HaShemashos. So then how could the Mishnah say that these were created Bein HaShemashos?
It's not we. It's the Rebbeinu Shel Hashem. So it's not we. It's
right. So, but then it's not really a Zman. So how could the Mishnah say that these things were created Bein HaShemashos? There's no Bein HaShemashos.
Right.
Unless you say the other way, that there really is a Bein HaShemashos. So then how come it's a Safik Yom Safik Laila? It's not really a Safik Yom Safik Laila. It's a Din Safik Yom Safik Laila. But it's a third Zman. So, that's, you know, I don't know if that's Pashim Shad in the Mishnah, but that's definitely an easier way to read it. Okay, but what does the Al Shul say over here? He says, Val Oymir Ram Shein Torah Min HaShamayim El Min HaAretz Behim To'asi, that they were saying that, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, that they claim that I made up the Torah. Well, if I made up the Torah, what are they saying? They're rejecting the idea that there really is like a nevuah, that there's really something spiritual that's coming to the world. He claims that that's what Karach was tying. Wow. That they were rejecting that the Torah is really Min HaShamayim because they're saying it can't be that you're going to have an Adam that's going to be able to connect to some spiritual world that isn't even on the same plane. Karach is infinite. We're finite. How do the two ever communicate? It doesn't make any sense. There's different dimensions entirely. So what does that mean? He says, it can't be. But they didn't understand or pay attention or chav that that's exactly what makes them alive. Because they've got a guf. And they've got a neshama. Where do you think the neshama came from? The neshama came from this other dimension. Okay, mida keneged mida. Nafshoy sam. Shehein mina shamayim. Lo yalu lo shamayim. That their nefesh shouldn't be part of shamayim. It should be stuck down here as if there was a whole physical thing. So they were swallowed up alive. That's what it means. They were swallowed up by the Pia Aretz alive. That their neshama wouldn't be detached, wouldn't be part of Shemayim. It would be stuck here. But Aretz, just like they're claiming. In other words, the Mida Kenegim Mida according to Al-Sheikh is not that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is repaying them in the way, like to show them like where they were wrong exactly. It's that...
This is what you wanted. I'll give it to you.
Yeah. It's that you've created a reality for yourself. If that's the way you want it, then that's the way you're going to have it, Mida Kenegim Mida. So it's a different derech. Moshe Rabbeinu knew. He's the one, and if you took a look at this piece earlier, he's the one that said, then how do we know the Mishnayos? We know the Moshe Rabbeinu Mitakis says it like that. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu knew it was created by Hashmashes. Ah. Hayesher kilay nivra b'koyach maspik livloya. That it could be that it wasn't created. In other words, what Moshe Rabbeinu is asking for a new creation is that it wasn't didn't have the capacity to swallow up. In what way? How can a physical thing swallow up a bunch of neshamas? What does that even mean? It swallows up the bodies. It doesn't swallow up the neshamas. If they die, then the neshama goes up to Shemayim. So that was, wow, so here's a huge chiddush. So this type of bria is a bria that has a neshama to it. It's a law, it's a physical, but it's also a neshama. So this bria has the capacity
to block the souls.
To somehow eat up the soul. He can swallow up a physical body. What does it mean to swallow up a nefesh? So it could be that when this PRS was originally created, maybe it just swallowed people up, the bodies. What?
The
PRS
is different.
Yeah. Okay, I'm Bria. Oy, give Hashem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu give it that quality that it should be able to swallow them up alive. So why would you want to swallow them up alive, exactly?
If that's what it does, why would you still call it PR? You could call it something else.
I mean, that doesn't answer why it's called the PR. He's just trying to answer why what it means that it would swallow it up alive, and how come we're
trying to do it. Ashok is saying, what is it actually do? What does it accomplish of being a PR? It says it blocks the neshama, so that's what it's kind of saying. So why would you call it a PR? It's called something else. Call it a soul blocker. Neshama, I'm making up, I don't know what to call it.
Yep. The other way to look at it is that it was created to swallow up the Rishayim, but it didn't have permission to start yet. Moshe Rabbeinu knew it existed, but he needed to daven that it should start to have an effect. So maybe that's what the tefillah was. So the other thing that the Al-Sheikh writes is that this living thing called the PRS, which is able to drag all these things towards it because it has like a life to it. So generally speaking, when we speak about Midas Adin, so then there's a din that happens to the Aretz Rachman Litzlan. And it is, tzaddikim get swallowed up too. That's the way it is. When there's a Pesach for Midas Adin, so mavchin ben tzaddik l'rasha, right? So if that would happen here, then it wouldn't be a proof at all. It would just be a big disaster that suddenly began and tzaddikim died too. It has to be something that only swallows up the Rishayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu also had to daven for a bria that would be able to break the rules. So it's interesting that when Moshe Rabbeinu davens, he doesn't dive into Elohim. Imbra Yivra Hashem. Yudke Vavke. But Bracious Bar Elohim. When we speak about Bria, you always speak about Elohim. So how come Moshe Rabbeinu is davening to Yudke Vavke when it comes to this Yivra Hashem? So perhaps that's what the Al-Sheikh has in mind here, is that Ki im Yivra Hashem Bal Harachamim, but Oifen Shapatz Abala Rishon Bilvah. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu with his Rachamim should sort of break the rules. And should be able to create a bria that's only going to swallow up the Rishayim and then break all the typical rules of Midas Adin. Interesting. Okay. He says something else over here, but I'm really not clear exactly what he has in mind. This last line, I underline it, says, Ata lo yafrid lechaber. That Moshe Rabbeinu wanted specifically that their neshamis should stay attached to their bodies. And we'll see other angles on that also, but the point is that, what is he trying to say? I want them to stay connected. And that you shouldn't detach their body from soul to reattach them later on. Meaning he wants them not to have olam haba. He wants them not to have a tikkun, maybe. So we'll see that sort of now.
This is worse than Karis.
Yeah. So it could be.
Or it is Karis.
So there's so many different versions. Yeah, so if it means after they die, it's Karis. So then it means olam. In any case, Rechaim writes, in Bria, he says, if you go back, Yisborel derech Omram in Sanhedrin, bepasik arur vechulei, ha'adamah asher patsasaz pia, shem oseyom nistam venechtam piaretz. And it did swallow up, who? Hevel. And it swallowed them up, and from that day on, it was closed up. So Moshe Rabbeinu was davening to open up the closed piaretz.
I mean, Hashem made this bria, and I was never going to use it. Hashem said, "Use it." Now it's time we use it again.
Something like that. It was there. It swallowed up Hevel originally, and then it was blocked up. And the whole time that the Aretz is stuck, it wants to sing Shira, and it's stuck. It can't sing Shira with its mouth because its mouth is closed up. So it has to sing Shira with its corners. Miknafa Aretz, Miras Shamanu. So when Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to punish these Rishonim, he said, "In Bria, Perush Oisa Bria Shekvar Bara Hashem." The Bria already exists, which is the Pia Aretz, and it got closed up because of a Maisa Shahaya. Ata Yachzar Hashem Livro Esa Habria Shehiya La Pe. Open it up again that it should have a mouth. Ve'ulai Kizeiye La Tikun L'Masha Patzav La Ish Tzadik. That should be a Tikun, maybe he says. He suggests Ulai. Ve'ata Tisapil Livloya Oyvei Hashem. That the tikkun for the mouth will be, so it much more two things. Number one, open up the mouth is closed. And number two, that will allow it to have a tikkun for swallowing up Hevel, who was a tzaddik, and it shouldn't have swallowed up in the first place, because the whole purpose of why it was created was to swallow up Rishon. Now, when you start to go vayt to it, this mahalach, you start to tie in Hevel and the connection between the Pi Ha'aretz and Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu and Kain v'Hevel, so now you get into the realm of certain things in the name of the Arizal. The Shalah. See, he says that you should know that Korach was a Gilgul of Kayin, and Moshe Rabbeinu was a Gilgul of Hevel. So there's a lot going on over here between that connection. So now, when you start to talk about the Pi Ha'aretz, and you talk about how the Pi Ha'aretz swallowed up Hevel, and Moshe Rabbeinu was a Gilgul of Hevel, so now it's going back on Kayin, and that's a Tikkun, and all those kinds of things. And Misasa Ha'isa Bevliya, Mida Keneged Mida, Yipatzes Ha'aretz Es Pi'a Livloya Adam Hevel. Fine, so now you can go on that angle altogether. Sfas Emes has a very interesting ha'ara. So he writes that the way it works in terms... Korach tried to prove himself right. You know, he tried to prove himself right. He says, because if I'm so terrible, there's no way that my descendants... Like he had this nevuah, his descendants would be, Gevaldigin. There's no way that my descendants will be able to be who they are if I'm going to go take over Moshe Rabbeinu and do all of this. It must be that I'm right. Because why? Why is he justified in saying that? Sfas Emes writes, because when a person instills into their DNA this problem, so it's gonna come out in later generations.
He's saying
if I'm gonna rebel against Moshe Rabbeinu, so obviously I'm right. Because if I'm wrong, then my future generations can't be the big tzaddikim that I know they're gonna be.
No, so now he destroyed that also.
No, so that's the problem. He's right. How is it possible? So Sfas Emes writes, because he didn't chap, that a Kadosh Baruch could prevent him from dying.
Oh.
So if he doesn't die, he's your sho'ila b'chayim, so then it doesn't get instilled into the DNA of his children, because he's still alive to be punished and to be dealt with and everything else.
So his children didn't rebel against Moshe Rabbeinu?
Right, so I'm saying, so those future descendants, who would be the tzaddikim that he foresaw, didn't have his problem, because he never died.
Now who are these people that come from his bloodline, or they come from, yeah. Meaning some of his children didn't...
Right, that's the whole future, that's the whole matter, that what he saw in the future is going to be that the children are going to be, macro and all those kind of things. Okay, anyway, that's interesting. Okay, so the last thing is, so we saw an angle that ties all of this back into Kain Vehevel, and the Pi Ha'aretz ties back into Kain Vehevel. And this could be a whole tikkun for that whole thing. Rabbeinu Bachai has one more thing that he says, if you try to learn this whole parsha, Pi Pashtus, he's like, you're left with so many kashas that you can't make heads or tails of it. Moshe was always davening for Klal Yisrael. Kini Maisa Ego, Chein Hamaraglim, which we discussed in the past, that wasn't exactly the same type of davening. Okay, but whatever. Eichlei Spala L'Leim Bekan. Why is he trying to destroy them? He doesn't daven a Kadosh Baruch Hu for them, that they should be saved, that they should do tshuva. Like, why does he want to destroy them? He's not even going to try to be Makari of them. They're trying to show them where they're wrong. It's strange, right? It's like with Avram Avinu. Like all of a sudden, light comes around. He doesn't muzzle the animals. Goodbye, good luck. What? You know, like, Isha Chesed, what's going on over here? You can always do tshuva for anything. It gets poetic. So what's going on here? How come Moshe is not davening for them? He could have given them a sign that could have convinced them, no? Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu just make a sign to convince Korach? They were pikchim v'chachamim gedoylim. That's what happens later on in the parsha with the staffs and everything else. So how can we improving it to everybody else but not to Korach and Azeda? This is a great kasha. If they really totally rebelled and this all punishment that they're deserving of, why are the Ketanim being punished here? It was Amalek. The Ketanim are being swallowed up. Old Batayim. Kid in a crib. Hashem sadically, Yase Avlo. Kadosh Baruch is not going to do that for no reason. If you want to understand this parsha of Bederach HaPshat, he says, you have all these kashas, you won't have a good teretz. The only way to really understand the parsha is through Kabbalah. Wow. You know how he is, Rabbeinu Bachai. Al Derech HaPshat, Al Derech HaRemez, Al Derech HaDrash, and also Al Derech HaMes. Here he's like, forget about it. So what's going on? I'm not going to spell it out, but I'll give you hints. When it comes to the generation that was dispersed, right? When they built the tower. They wanted to build a big tower up for various different reasons in Mepharshim. And they wanted to make a shame for themselves.
What's a shame? A name?
Yeah, a name for themselves. They wanted to be some, whatever that means, right? But they were rebelling against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. They wanted to exist, and they wanted to be able to defend themselves against the Kadosh Baruch Hu and prevent the Kadosh from destroying the world again, and fortify the Shemayim so it wouldn't be another Mabul and all those kinds of things, right? They were rebelling against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. When it comes to later on in history, right? Now back to times of Avram Avinu, the people of Stoim, they all gathered onto the house of light. And the pasuk is saying, "V'anshei ha'ir, anshei stoim." You could have left out anshei ha'ir. You could have just said, "V'anshei stoim naso b'alabayis." The people of stoim, you know, collected themselves around the house and gathered around the house. What's anshei ha'ir, anshei stoim? He said, "That's remez number one. Anshei ha'ir means the people of that original city. They tried to build a city. Hava nivne lanu what ir umigdal." So the Anshei Ha'ir, Anshei Sdoim, are the same people. He says, Ubira Kosov, that's the Pasuk saying. Wow. Ki Anshei Ha'ir v'hamigdol heim Anshei Sdoim. So the people were Anshei Sdoim, were Gilgulim of Dor HaFlaga, those people.
But why Daf Gilgulim? They weren't destroyed by the... Why Gilgulim?
What do you mean?
Dor HaFlaga, they weren't destroyed, they were just... They just changed all the...
I don't think anyone was still alive by then though, right?
Doesn't mean
necessarily.
Chances are not.
I don't know how many doors there were between them. As you're saying, I think he means that was a Gilgal that they came back that time. I think so. If you Amar Alayim, Ves Anashim Asher Pesach Habayis Hiku Besan Veirim. So they were blinded, right? But Tim Shabban Say Anshei Stoim, but Anshei Ha'ir, Vipar Shazu Badas Karech, Vyakumu Lifnei Moshe. So when it comes to this week's parasha, so these people got up in front of Moshe, before Moshe. V'hayroi loymar al Moshe. They gathered up against him, on him. They were going to fight with him. He says, V'yakumu lifnei Moshe. So we wouldn't have made anything out of that. We would have said, lifnei Moshe. It means in front of him. What's the big deal? So he says, no, lifnei can mean in zman. These people arose before Moshe Rabbeinu, in zman, in time. About Ramez, it's a Ramez. Ki hayu lifnei Moshe. They existed before Moshe Rabbeinu. Mipnei ze kara man shei shei. Because they're the people, v'nase lanu shei. V'tirge munkulus v'yikach. V'spolik. So here's an interesting one. Reinochai Tainus. That when it says v'yikach karakarach took, v'spolik. V'spolik means to separate. Plag. Plag amincha. So dorha falaga. So he says, why does Unkelus have to translate like v'yikach, and he set himself aside. He split himself aside. Why does he have to translate it like that? And he says, the remez al dorha falaga. Because he was part of the dorha falaga. V'hizkir b'kan b'unisham. Ha'ineha anishim ahem tinakir. Even poke out our eyes, Moshe Rabbeinu, so we're not going to get involved with this, they say. Poke out your eyes. What's with your eyes? What are you talking about? Are you going to poke out my eyes again like you did before? I've already been hikabasan v'rim one time before. I've already been blinded. Yeah, we've been blinded in the past. That's not going to do anything for me. I'm not going to change because of your threats of poking out my eyes. Wow. So you have this merciful father, and he has a son who's a fool. He's behaving totally inappropriately. So first he yells at him. He spreads him out, you know. If he still doesn't get the lesson, so then he afflicts him. He punishes him. That's Tanchei's time. Shalishis, but the third time. So he says, forget about it. There's nothing happening. I can't. They're not changing. Nothing I can do.
Tell the neshamas aren't changing. They're sparks.
They were given chances. They were given several chances. This is their beginning. This is what they started to do. Spread him out. Blinded them. He gave him yusurim. They were deserving of totally being destroyed. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended here. That battle with him. That this chesed for so many thousands of years, you got to figure out the math over here, I guess. But the chesed la'alafim was up. Better is two than one. What do you mean? What does it mean? So he's hinting, but he doesn't spell out anything he's talking about. What he means to say is, and it's clear if you take a look at the Ramban over there, Koheles, which is probably where he's coming from, that the basically, loy b'mehir yinaseg, atalami ki lefa'amim, yinaseg afilu b'shlishes. Sometimes it will be severed even on the third time around. Aval rachaku v'eino davar motzi, but it's not normal. L'chachamar loy b'mehir yinaseg. That a person, when it comes to Gilgulim, are given three times max. So the first two times, so that's already good. Toivim ha'shnayim min ha'echad. If you didn't do it the first time, so at least you get a second chance. And you know what? You'll even get a third chance. Because by the third chance, it's hard to imagine a person coming back to the world three times and not coming to his tikkun. Okay? But occasionally it happens.
Somebody saying he'll pass the test.
Yeah, come on. The third time around, he'll be able to do whatever he needs to do to come to his tikkun.
Is he guaranteed? He's saying.
What? No, he's not guaranteed. That's what he's saying. He's saying, but sometimes it happens. Lo b'mehero yinaseik, but pa'amim yinaseik. Sometimes it happens. Like in this case, that's what happened. Ubesefer ha'ba here. Matina b'feirush. Amar Rabbi Akiva Ma'idich. What does it mean in the pasuk? It says, dar ha'leich v'dar ba. What do you mean? Generations come and go. What's your kasha? No, it should have said, dar ba v'dar ha'leich. Generations come and go. It does. It says, dar ha'leich, generations go. And then it says, generations come. How could that be? Shikvar ba. Because it's a reference to Gilgulim. Because they had already come before and they're coming back. The king had the servants and he dressed them up in these certain clothes. The best clothes that he was capable of dressing them in. They messed up. So they took off the clothes and they went away. He cleaned up the begadim. Till they were pure. And they're prepared with him again. He gets new servants, new slaves. And he gives them those same clothes. He doesn't know if they're better than the first or they're not better than the first. But there's zoicha, the clothes that had already been used. So, I don't know exactly what it has in mind. Because there are two drachim over here that are always applicable. There's what's called a gilgul neshama, where the neshama itself is coming back. And there's what's called iruv neshama, where the neshama can attach itself for the purpose of tikkun, you know, to something else that's happening. So, when you talk about the levush, but there's a different eved, so I don't know what angle to go with Sefer HaBoyer, way beyond me. Now you can chop the parsha. Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu daven for them? And the children were also punished. Fine, whatever it is. But that's his basic point. Is that in all of these, the whole parsha basically, is that this was the third chance that they had to come to Tikkun, and Moshe Rabbeinu saw that they totally failed. He doesn't bother to do anything about it because they're not. That's it. That's their last chance. So there's a lot going on. He started to dig down. So what to do with the last few things on this sheet? I'm not exactly sure. There's a Rashi, which is, you know, pretty typical. The Zohar Kaddish has this line, and I don't know what to do with it, but it says that there's always a malach that corresponds to everything. But Aretz, so Pi Haaretz corresponds to Duma. So when we say in a halal, local Yordai Duma, yeah.
We should come and take them away.
Yeah, so somehow PRs and Dumar are somehow related. So I don't know. So you can ponder that. But okay, so some element of Chazar here a little bit. What do we say? So that why was the opening of a PRs necessary? So you have a few pshatim. You know, the Pashtun all try to get at that. So what's exactly the Mida Keneged Mida of the PRH? Is because it was Torah? Is it because they opened their mouth to try to swallow up Moshe Rabbeinu? So you have a few different angles that you can use for that. What does that mean? There's a PRH. PRH was a unique Bria. It was a living Bria. It drew things towards it. Moshe Rabbeinu is davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of Midas HaRachamim because he wanted to change the dynamic of the Midas, and it shouldn't swallow up everybody. It should only swallow up Mamash Derishayim, which is not normal when it comes to Midas and expressing itself. And why was it so unique? This is a Bria. So you have the
reason. It never swallowed Rishayim until now.
What?
It only swallows. No, it swallowed heaven.
No, it's right. So that was the Rishayim HaKadosh is saying, is that it never, that swallowed up a Sadik, and this should be a tikkun for it, that it's fulfilling its purpose. It was supposed to swallow up the Rishayim, but it swallowed up Heva, which wasn't supposed to happen. This should be its tikkun.
But Hashem did that. Hashem commanded it. Hashem does it good. And its reasons for it. Why are you giving a ticket on Kadosh Baruch Hu's name?
Kadosh Baruch Hu punished the land for doing that.
What?
He wasn't supposed to do that.
Even if it wasn't supposed to, Hashem still did it. That's how we learn everything.
Okay, not sure how to adjust inanimate objects of it. But the point is that was not what it was supposed to do.
And Hashem was always kitayo for how God getting swallowed up was a good thing also.
You know, that's already a different perspective altogether. In other words, in retrospect or whatever, somehow it all works out. Whatever that means. But in any case, and that leads you to this whole issue with the Shalach Kaddish that mentions it, and Moshe Rabbeinu was really a Gilgal of Hevel, and Kerech is Kayin. So that's one way to look at what's going on over here that goes back to the Pi Ha'aretz. But the other thing that's going on is this Rabbeinu B'chaye that says that this is actually the same door as Zohar Flaga and Anche Stoim coming back again over here. It's unbelievable that Rabbeinu B'chaye is writing this. It's like the Pashup Shad in Chumash, that they're coming back in for their third chance, or third opportunity for Tikkun, but they totally just failed. So Moshe Rabbeinu knows that already. So he says, okay, so they're finished. There's no reason to daven for them or something. And that's why everybody got swallowed up, including all the babies, including everything else. That was really just a Gilgal Neshamas of what came before. And they were finished. Crazy stuff.